the celebrated French aristocrat, poet and author, and French fighter pilot that gave his life in the Second World War as the part of the greatest generation to liberate his own country, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. The writer of that little book, La Petite Prince, has a great quote. He writes, "If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood, and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea." This morning, I want to adapt this sense of longing expectation, and on this Pentecost Sunday, apply it to our lives as followers of Jesus Christ and say this: if you want to build believers, don't just drum them up to gather facts from the matchless Word of God, nor simply assign them tasks of mission to do. Now hear me, both of those are really important. But it's the last part that is the hinge upon which we lean into the future with hope. Rather, teach them, inspire them to long for the endless immensity of faith, of a life with Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I think adapting this quote from the 20th century harkens back to the promise of God revealed by the prophet Yoel. Now I know you're going to say Joel, but it's Yoel in Hebrew. Aren't you going to miss that? Joel chapter 2, you saw it come alive on the screen. Joel chapter 2, God speaks with such confidence that the day is coming when He will pour out His favor upon His people. The prophet Yoel records these words: "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men," well, there's one, "your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. Even on my servants," get this, "both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." We gather with the historic church around the world to say, thank you, God, that you have fully fulfilled this promise in the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Jesus promised 50 days, Penta, 50. 50 days after His resurrection, 10 days following His ascension, that God would fulfill His promise to pour out upon all people power from on high. Power that changes everything. And it's that power I want us to celebrate and claim today as I conclude my last teaching series as your preacher. I've entitled it, "The Christian's Great and Wondrous Calling." And for a third week, we're looking again at Paul's opening greeting to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning, a personal copy of the matchless Word of God. And let me share with you these thoughts again. St. Paul writes, "I always thank my God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We've been digging into this passage as we are praying through this exciting time of transition. Now just 2 weeks away, as you begin to write the next great chapter in the ministry of this remarkable church. Our first Sunday in this series, we looked back to give thanks to God for those who had confirmed the testimony about Christ in our lives. And I hope you've taken time to call those who have come before you, who helped you catch a vision for the change in your life that Jesus brings. Did you call somebody? Did you thank them? I asked you to write me, and many of you did. And I've welled up with more tears than I can say as you've shared funny moments and happy moments and even heartbreaking moments when we confirmed in each other the power, the hope, the presence of Jesus Christ. Thank you. There's still time to write. Last week, we looked at this passage again and claimed that God has enriched us in every way with speech and knowledge. And I asked you last week on the back of your connection card to share with me over the 7 years we've been together how you have grown most profoundly in the grace of God through Jesus, and how you have experienced in your own life His supernatural gifts coming alive to help you interpret the Word of God and live the Word of God and speak the Word of God and act the Word of God. So many of you wrote about the testimony of disciple Bible study in your life, the walk to Emmaus, the vulnerability of meeting Christ in the face of the poor. That's a very vulnerable place here in this community and around the world. You talked about feeling plugged into the power of the Almighty as the heavy jail cell door clanked behind you. And you loved prisoners in the Rockdale County Jail. You wrote about what it was like to deliver Christmas gifts or food in a neighborhood where the culture and the language was different, but the language of love did the trick to communicate the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for sharing with me ways that you have experienced deepening discipleship. This morning, I want us to look to the future as we come all the closer to this important time of transition. And I want us to look specifically 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, where St. Paul makes a veiled reference to the Spirit of God. Paul writes, "Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift." Now, he's going to develop a theology of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, later in the text. And he's going to outline these wonderful manifestations, spiritual manifestations of the Holy Spirit of God. But I want you to notice the way he ends verse 7. He says, "Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you," get this, "eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." Now, on the surface, this may seem to be strictly an apocalyptic statement. The second coming of Christ, which I do believe is coming, and we may be closer than we think. The time when Christ will come finally as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and make right what we have done wrong. To vindicate the martyr. To punish the wicked. And to gather up the redeemed, to live with the Father forever. But a closer look at the Greek text. Aren't you going to miss that? A closer look at the Greek text tells us that this is not strictly a future-oriented word, but it is a present-tense word. How believers have built into them that supernatural sense of longing for a greater revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives now. A deepening of faith. A deepening confidence to live out the faith. A deepening desire to be the hands and feet of Christ where the world hurts the most. A deepening desire to serve at whatever cost for the sake of someone else coming to know Christ. And be set free. And find one's truest reason for being. That Greek word's about this long. May I share with you, for the very last time ever, a Greek word? For the very last time ever, you'll have to listen to this exciting present tense, but yet future-oriented mark of a born-again believer. Apek. Dekonahi. Ooh, I just got a power surge. The great 19th century British evangelical Anglican who held forth as the Prince of Preachers at Holy Trinity Parish in Brighton, England, down upon the coast, once wrote that the attitude of expectation is the highest posture that can be attained here by the Christian. That sense that God is always calling, and there is always some deeper experience of the Spirit waiting for us. I want to ask this important question. What are you eagerly anticipating in your spiritual life? What are you most eagerly longing for in your spiritual life? I ask this question for a very important reason. I want to be able to share with your new preacher the eager longings of your heart. Over the last couple of weeks, I've had an opportunity to spend some time in person and a lot of time on the telephone, sharing with leadership in the congregation to which I am being sent and asking the same question. I've been asking the question of our executive leadership team, the other four ordained ministers and the executive minister that constitute the executive. And I've begun to have conversations with the lead staff, and then eventually I want to have conversations with the entire staff. I've had an opportunity to interact with a few members of the lay leadership executive. Those key members that work and execute the decision-making in the life of the church. I long to communicate with all of the lay leaders, and then as broadly as I can with the entire congregation. Why? Because I want those longings to be the basis for my early preaching and teaching. To bring to fulfillment that which they are longing to experience. And this morning on the back of your connection card, I want to invite you to share what you are most eagerly longing for, so that this week at annual conference, I can say to your new preacher, Dr. Dave, you're inheriting a church where so many are immersed in the anointing power of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what they are longing for. Hey, won't that be a great basis to begin that new relationship in 2 weeks when he comes? I'm praying it'll be a great basis for the relationship in my new congregation on June 22nd. I don't know how they've worked it out, but I really need your help on June 22nd as you're celebrating with Dr. Dave. They've organized it that I'm going to preach in all four services on June 22nd. Two of them are at 11 o'clock. I'm still waiting to figure that trick out. There is a longing that marks the heart of every believer, St. Paul says. And that longing, I believe, is the highest posture attained by any believer that causes us to live faith forward, anticipating that God's not done with any of us. What are you anticipating? Maybe it's this, that you are ready finally to meet Jesus Christ personally, to make that singularly most important decision you can ever make, the transfer from the head to the heart, from the head to the heart, to the hands. As I've read through the letters that so many of you have written, I was reminded of the day of one of our youngest children's department members who came to me even at a very young age and said, Dr. John, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I mean, a little boy discerning the power of the Savior and saying yes to Christ at the altar of the church. I was reminded of one of our senior most members a couple of years ago. He came out of church on a particularly beautiful Sunday in which we had served the sacrament of Holy Communion, and he had on his face the brightest countenance radiance. He's a very plain spoken fellow. I said, preacher, today's the first day I ever received Holy Communion. I said, really? Tell me about that. He said, today was the first day I ever wanted to. And then he said, what I will never forget, I knelt at the altar today to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He said, you changed my life. I said, no, now, brother, I didn't change your life. The Lord Jesus changed your life. Well, he's a very plain-spoken man. He pointed at me and said, listen, you changed my life. At that point, I said, yes, sir. Do you know Jesus personally? I mean, in the power of his liberating and forgiving presence. What are you longing for? A greater confidence to live the life that he has called you to live, to speak into the injustice of the world, the unrighteousness that even occupies this choice city and county? Where do you long for a deeper experience, a deeper revelation of Jesus Christ? Is it finally to have the courage and the power to forgive? To let those words part your lips that you said you would never say? To make the first move as Christ on the cross made the first move of reconciliation towards us? Perhaps the courage to let go of a hurt that has defined you and limited you. You just can't seem to get loose of that hurt. What are you longing for? To find a passionate purpose for the days that God will yet grant you on earth. Your genuine calling that will wear you out on the one hand and renew your spirit like never before on the other. What are you eagerly anticipating? A child or a grandchild who is living far from God, caught in the grip of addiction, living beneath his or her dignity and potential, you are longing for the revelation of Jesus Christ in their heart and life, to see them finally come home, finally be set free. What are you eagerly anticipating? The courage to operate within the arena of your spiritual giftedness. Perhaps you have the gift of healing and you are longing for training and how you might lay hands on, anoint with oil, and pray the healing power of the great physician and see lives restored. What are you longing for in your life? Paul says, it is a great mark of this great and wondrous calling as a Christian to live into God's preferred future for you. And I want so much to know the longings of the hearts of the people of the Hillside Church. I can't wait. And I want so much this week to share with your new preacher what you are longing for, what you are eagerly anticipating. Would you take just a moment and turn to the back of your connection card? And would you be vulnerable with me and give me some words that I might share with Dr. Benson? I'll give you just a moment and let you write. On this Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate that God has fully fulfilled his promise to pour out his Spirit upon all people, may we make it our fervent desire to long for the endless immensity of faith, the endless immensity of a fuller revelation of Jesus Christ, the endless immensity of living into our spiritual giftedness for the greater glory of God and the greater good of his people. Amen.